Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Sometimes when you're asked, you you just think about all that you have to do. And truthfully, when John asked, I was like, no. I'm like, can't you ask Stormy? And he was like, well, we got some other things we need to do. It's your turn. And I'm like, okay. And so I would love to say that I did it without much murmuring or complaining, but that is not true. I went in kicking and screaming, and then he put up scripture this morning that he put up about, you know, his pay is to get, you know, his pay is just the joy of preaching the good news. And I was like, because I was complaining last night, so I know that you brought that scripture out just for me this morning. So I kind of had to pray through that murmuring and complaining spirit, and I believe that God gave me a word for tonight. I know that he did, and I'm excited, and I'm honored to be able to do that here tonight with all of you. So I do want to welcome you, all of the church people. We don't have visitors in here tonight, so you all know who I am. We can be comfortable. We can just take it easy. We can relax. For everybody listening online, welcome to my mom and dad, because I know you're listening because I'm your favorite daughter. I'm so glad that you have keyed in to listen today. Okay, how many strong people do we have in here tonight? How many of you would say that you're strong, you're a strong person? Not any of you are going to raise your hands because you feel like it's a trick question. So you're like, nah, I'm not strong. I'm weak. How many of you are do-it-yourself kind of people? Yeah? Some DIYers in here. Okay. How many of you are a woman who don't need help from no man? Oh, so the ladies aren't afraid to raise their hand. It was funny because this Chase was here during the afternoon while I was getting ready for this, but we weren't in any kind of contact with each other. And I was over here and I said something and he was like, because I don't need help from no man. And I was like, it's funny that you should say that because that's actually in my sermon tonight. So we take a lot of pride in being able to handle our own business, don't we? We like to be able to say, like, man, I got this. I can do whatever it is that we need to be done. If we don't have to call a plumber or a roofer or a contractor or any kind of person, like, man, I did that. And that makes us proud. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. I think there's a lot that can be said about that mindset that is commendable, right? You like people who you know you can count on to help you get a job done. That is a commendable thing. But that mindset, I believe, has gotten us as a church in a bad spot. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the church needs to be woe is me, poor mouth, weak, unable to stand on two legs, because that is not scriptural. However, for far too long, I believe the men and the women of the church, both corporately and individually, have become far too comfortable doing life on our own, by our own strength and in our own way. We hear the scripture in John 15 that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And instead of viewing that as a motivator to stay close to the vine, we see it like we see the estimated GPS time of arrival. We scoff and say, one of it, okay? We see that we've seen the scripture that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But for so long, apart from him, we have done things and we're like, yes, I can. Yes, I can do things apart from you. So we think because we have seen ourselves do things apart from him, that we are doing things to the best of our ability apart from him, and that is not true, okay? We have not only become used to being Christians who live like we do not need a Christ, we downright celebrate our success in it thus far. I know it may sound harsh, but if the Holy Spirit left your life today, would anyone even notice? We have all seen sheep before, right? We all seen sheep. We all know that scripture says that we are the sheep, he is the shepherd. I'm not telling you anything new and exciting today. But sheep aren't exactly the king of the jungle, right? If you were like, my spirit animal is a sheep, you're probably not. I saw a video today and it was of a Dachshund that weighed 77 pounds. And now I wish I would have put his picture up here. And I said, that's my spirit animal right there. He came out of the house and he's like, but most of us wouldn't say, like, the animal I identify with is a sheep. Okay, we're like, I'm a lion, or I'm a bear, or I'm a something really big and dangerous or fast or something. Most of us wouldn't be like, I'm a lowly, dumb sheep. That's what I am. Sheep are known for being easy prey to predators because they cannot protect themselves and they are easy to catch. Have you ever gone to a rodeo? I know rodeos aren't really a big thing here, but what do children ride instead of bulls in a rodeo? Sheep. Okay, it's called mutton busting, if you've never seen it. You should check it out. It's kind of hilarious, actually. But the reason that they let the children ride on the sheep, because the sheep are gentle and they're docile and they're not going to do anything, okay? Even if they fall on the sheep, it's basically like hitting a pillow. You fell on a pillow, like, good job, so dangerous. Sheep are in their own selves, they're very calm and docile, okay? So most of us are like, I'm not a sheep, I'll tear you up, I'm a bear, all right? But that's not what God calls us to be, right? Now, while we as his sheep are often very mean-spirited to each other, we are in fact quite docile and harmless when it comes to the spirit world, are we not? You're not going to say we are. Well, we'll get there, okay? When was the last time that you were able to cast out demons in the name of Christ? Or when was the last time that you stormed the gates of hell with your prayers? I would be willing to bet that it's been a minute. We are docile. We think of our prayer life as a quiet time and a thing that we do as we sip our coffee, right? We're like, oh, I'm going to wake up this morning. I'm going to have a little 15-minute prayer time in the kitchen while the kids sleep, okay? Is that the kind of prayer time that we should always have? Absolutely not, okay? That's sheep prayer time, okay? Sometimes God wants us to storm the gates of hell with our prayers, okay? He wants us to be powerful. He wants our prayers to do something. When was the last time your prayers changed anything in your life or in the life of someone else? Excuse me. If the match is between the sheep and the wolf will win. If the match is between us and the evil spiritual powers that are trying to take us away from the shepherd, the evil forces will win. Not because the shepherd is unable to protect us, but because we are unwilling to be shepherded. Tonight's sermon is called Sheep Without a Shepherd. Are we his sheep? And are we his sheep with him as our shepherd? Because I believe that we, as Christians, have survived a long time as Christians. We say, I'm a Christian. You look like a Christian, you talk like a Christian, you walk like a Christian. But when you think of yourselves in the concept of being a sheep that follow a shepherd, we may not be able to fall in that category as well. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says, you've done all these things really well. You know, you hate evil things, you do good, and all of these things. And he lists all these great things, and they're things that look like the church today. And he says, this one thing I hold against you, you lost your first love. You don't love me the way you used to, and you don't love others the way you used to. And because of that, there's nothing I can do with you. Until you're able to return to that place where you love me like you did in the beginning, until you become a sheep that follows a shepherd, your lampstand is going to have to be removed. So we have to make sure that not only do we look like sheep, but we act like sheep that follow a shepherd. Not only are sheep harmless, docile, and defenseless, they are also very gullible. On a whole, sheep can be led anywhere as long as there is a food supply. Just going to mull that over there for a sec. As long as there is a food supply, sheep will follow. When I read that, it brought to mind Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. Where there is food, we will follow, right? That applies to so many areas of our lives, okay? Obviously, there's the regular area, okay? How many of you have ever been invited somewhere, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go to that. And they're like, there's going to be food. And you're like, oh, there, I'm there. We RSVP, we sign, seal, deliver that thing. We priority mail it to make sure we get a good seat by the food table. We're there, okay? But it also speaks to our hearts and our attitudes, right? We get hurt. Someone makes us mad. We don't get the answer from God that we want, so we step away from church. We step away from communication with the Father. We don't seek counsel anymore. Why? Because it suits our appetite to stay mad. It's easier to stomach being alone than it is to stomach being humbled, so we avoid the shepherd altogether. Now, just before we go any further, the shepherd I'm referring to is the shepherd that is Jesus Christ, not the shepherd that is Pastor John, okay? I don't want you to get the two confused, okay? Because we need to do life with both of those things. As shepherd, as our Jesus Christ is our shepherd and our pastor, we need to keep those things in line. Tonight, I want to show you the mascot for this sermon. If you are listening online, you can pause me for a minute and look up Shrek the Sheep. Okay, now, don't confuse Shrek the Sheep for his namesake, which was Shrek the Ogre. You guys all know Shrek the Ogre, okay? Shrek the Sheep, can you see him? Okay. When I saw him for the first time, I was flooded with so many thoughts and parallels, because that is the way that my mind works. If you were to open up my brain, you would find music lyrics and pictures. Those are the two things that God put in my heart all the time. If I see a picture, there's a better chance that I'm going to correlate what you're trying to say. So when I saw this picture, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, this is my church. And we look at this sheep and we think, well, that is a silly looking sheep. He is so cute and he looks big and healthy. But that is not the case for Shrek the sheep, okay? Now I'm going to try really hard to say Shrek the sheep and not Shaun the sheep. Have you guys ever seen the show Shaun the Sheep? Yeah, my kids like that show, and when I was writing this up, I had to erase Shaun the Sheep about 9 times. So I'm like, Shrek the Sheep, Shrek the Sheep, Shrek the Sheep, which is also in itself hard to say. Shrek the Sheep is from New Zealand, and he gained international attention in 2004 after he hid in a cave to avoid being caught for 6 years, okay? The shepherd must have been looking for him for 6 years, or he was not one of those shepherds that left the 99. He just let that one go. I don't know. Of course, as you would expect, during those 6 years, his fleece grew because he had no shepherd to shear him, okay? Shrek the sheep is classified as a Merino sheep. There are sheep who will shed their fleece on their own, but his version or his classification of sheep does not do that. They need a shepherd to shear them, okay? Merino sheep have been domesticated and bred in ways that will not allow them to survive well without regular shearing by their shepherd. They must be shorn at least once a year because their wool never stops growing. If it is neglected, the overabundance of wool will cause stress, mobility issues, and even blindness. Okay, so we're going to parallel that, as you can imagine. On the day he was found, Shrek's fleece weighed an astounding 60 pounds, which is quite a weight for a sheep that is usually shorn at about 10. Okay, so he was used to weighing max capacity 10 pounds, and when they found him, he weighed 60, okay? For 6 years, Shrek lived in the cave. He must have survived. He may have survived, but for 6 years, he carried 6 times the regular weight simply because he refused to come to a shepherd. Shrek is not so different from many of us, right? We survive. We're alive. We're here on a Sunday night, so that should be counting for something. But maybe we're here and we're carrying a little more burden than we should. Maybe we're here and we're a little more stressed than we should be. Maybe we're here and we're a little blinded by what's going on around us because we have been burdened down by our own selves simply because we refuse to be shepherded. Allow me a little bit of liberty and fun, again, because this is how I think, and I apologize, but I also don't because that's how God made me. Shrek was known for not liking the shearing process. He tells his sheep friends, "Man, I've had enough of this. No one is going to tell me when to cut my hair, when to go out to pasture, when to come in. In his own little sheep, I do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do." Okay? There was definitely not a shortage of other sheep cheering him on, right? Because where there are bad ideas, there is always a cheering section. There's always somebody that's going to be like, "Oh, dude, that's a good idea." But it's not a good idea. They just want to watch and see what's going to happen, okay? I also have to believe that there were probably some wiser, maybe older sheep who were there trying to warn him. "It's a bad idea, Shrek. I don't think you should do it." He's not doing it because he's mad. The rules are there for your safety. He only tells you what he tells you because he loves you. If you go out there, you will surely die. We know if we're apart from our shepherd, we will surely die. Okay, and Shaun says, no, I think I can do it. I can do it on my own, right? When he comes home, his cheering section probably says, "You did it, Shaun." It's Shrek. Sorry, I knew it was going to happen. "You did it, Shrek. You're the man. You're the sheepiest sheep who ever sheeped." However, it was when he got with his council that he laid his head down and no doubt said, "Man, it was tough out there. I was hungry. I had to watch my back everywhere I turned. It got harder and harder to walk with every passing day. I wanted to come home, but eventually I couldn't even see anymore. I've never felt so lost, alone, and afraid. I thought what I wanted was liberty and freedom." Thank you, sweetie. "I thought what I wanted was liberty and freedom, but when I finally heard the shepherd in the mouth of the cave, I knew that all I really wanted was to be where he was." See, being away from our shepherd sounds like so much fun. It sounds like freedom, But what it is burden. It's hard. When we get out there away from our shepherd, Jesus Christ, when we get away from him and we're trying to do this Christian walk without the shepherd, where we think we have freedom because we don't, I don't have to be at church on Sunday morning. I don't have to stand up. I don't have to lift my hands when she says lift my hands. I don't have to worry they're not going to call me because I'm not there. That all sounds like liberty and freedom. But when you need something and you turn around and there's nobody there, that freedom quickly becomes loneliness. Okay? The refining of our character is uncomfortable, so we avoid the refiner. We simply avoid the shepherd. We carry around the weight of our burdens because we think doing this life by our own merit is what will make us successful. People will say, man, look what she did. Look what he did all by himself. Nobody was there to help him. He survived all on his own. He built his empire all by himself. And we think that's the key to success, to be able to do that on our own. I've even heard that only weak men follow Christ. Oh, you follow Christ because you're weak. You can't stand by yourself. When we know that it is quite the opposite. All the while, we're growing more stressed by the day. As our stress builds, we become inwardly focused, right? I have had probably a busier week than I should have had, and I can tell you that I was inwardly focused. I'm like, okay, I was keeping that planner open. Okay, if we do this on this time, we can be here by this time, be here by this time. Leaving no thought for what God wanted me to do in any given moment. I was just trying to survive the week. And if we burden ourselves like that, it's not uncommon for us to become so stressful that we're not even a little bit worried about what God's trying to do. Not because we're bad or because we're sinful, but just because we're busy, all right? And sometimes we allow that to happen. We allow ourselves to become stressed like that. So as stress builds up, we become more inwardly focused. How am I going to make this work all day? There aren't enough dollars in my wallet or hours in my day, so we have to work more hours to earn more money, to have less time than we had before. Then when God says for you to move, you can't because you're barely holding yourselves up under the weight of your own burden. We like the idea of being a move of God, but if we take one step, we know we will collapse under the weight of everything we are carrying, so we will become blind to God's will in our lives, and we will become blind of what he wants to do through our lives. We will completely miss out on the fullness of a relationship with Christ and what really matters because we refuse to run to a shepherd who promises in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy to bear and my load is not hard to carry. We think that it's going to be easier when we get away from God, but once we get away, we find that it is way easier with him. We're not having to do it all by ourselves, and in it, we were never ever designed to do it by ourselves. All right. Eventually, Shrek was sheared. I'm going to put that up there. Look at how cute he is. Looking like a regular sheep. All right. Eventually, Shrek was sheared, and it only took 28 minutes. So in 28 minutes, they were able to undo what Shrek did to himself in 6 years. In 28 minutes, he produced enough wool to make 20 large men's suits. The thing that was such a burden to him in the right hands was a blessing to others. All it took was for him to come to his shepherd. God will do the same for you and for I. He doesn't want us to look like what we've been through. Shrek came out of the other side looking just like all the other sheep, right? If you were to see Shrek without that weird Shrek blanket on, if you were to see him out in the field, you would just think that he was just a regular old sheep. But we all know that he wasn't just a regular old sheep, okay? But God does the same thing for us. Okay, we come in for the first time we come through those church doors. We may not look like the church. We may not look like a godly character. We may not look like anybody who's going to amount to anything. But when God comes in and we surrender ourselves to him, he takes our mess away. He doesn't make us look like the mess that we are. And when he cleans us up and we pass along the street, we're just like everybody else. We no longer feel like an outcast. We no longer wear that outcast mask. All it took was for him to come to his shepherd, okay? We have to turn to our shepherd when we feel like our life is a mess, but we also have to turn to our shepherd when we feel like our life is in order. I feel like, especially with the crowd that we have here tonight, we are often more guilty of not turning to the shepherd when our life is in order. we think when our life is in order, like, I got this, everything is under control, it's good, it's fantastic. And so we sometimes tend to back away from what God has for our lives, and we kind of draw near to him when we're in need. But a sheep has to stay with their shepherd, whether they're sick or whether they're well. He doesn't want us looking like what we've been through. Shrek came out on the other side looking just like all the other sheep. However, I am sure that he carried himself quite differently after that. He probably stayed close by the shepherd's side, just waiting for the whisper of his name, eager to go wherever the shepherd would lead. A lot of times you'll find people when they come out outside on the other side of a bad situation, they're a lot closer to God than they were when they went in. And I have to believe the same would have been said for the sheep. Okay, he would have been like, whew, I remember last time. It was a hot mess when I left. So he's going to stay real close. Okay, we have a dog that weighs about 120 pounds. And when we go out of town and he gets left, even though he's left and being taken care of, when we come home, oh my, like he's right by our side. He doesn't want to stray away from either me or John. He wants to stay real close. And that's what God wants for us. God wants us to stay so close to him that when he turns around, we're bumping into him like, oh, sorry. All right. He wants us to be in that proximity with him all of the time, not just when we're in trouble and he's like, come here, come on. He wants us to stay in that close relationship with him at all times. John chapter 10, verse 35. I'm going to read verse 10, 3 through 5, and then 9 through 14. Says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and follows them because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Can that be said for you? When the enemy tries to speak into your life, do you even hear it? God wants us to be so close to him that when the enemy tries to speak to us, we're like, I didn't hear it. Did you hear something? Because I didn't hear anything, okay? Because we're so in tune with the voice of God that when the enemy tries to come and mimic him or sound like him, we're like, that's not God. So that's what God desires for us, that closeness, okay? It's in verse 9, he says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and he scatters for the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. For just as my Father knows me, I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. So in all of that time that we kind of run away or we shy away from the idea of being sheep, because nobody ever calls you a sheep as a good thing. Nobody's like, dude, you're a sheep. They're like, you're such a sheep, right? They don't mean it as a good thing, but here God is saying, he's saying, because I know the Father knows me, and I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. So that we should take great pride in the fact that God calls us that close relationship to him. Okay, Jessica, if you'll go ahead and come up. Tonight, as they begin to sing, I would like for you to stand as we close. I used to feel like the hardest part of preaching, and if you've ever been asked to preach and you're not really a preacher, right? When you've ever been asked to preach, the altar call is the most nerve-wracking part of a sermon at any point, okay? If you aren't careful, you'll find yourself judging the message or judging yourself based on people's reactions. And I used to feel that way as well, and I used to really struggle with that. But it kind of ended for me when I read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We're going to read the rest of Matthew 28. And he says, are you weary? Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require for you. Sorry, for all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Jesus was doing his own altar call right there. He said, have you had enough? Are you done with this? Are you tired of always being so heavy burdened? Are you tired of always being stressed out? Then just come. Come to where I am, whether it's here at the altar, whether it's at your house, whether it's at your chair, wherever it is, when you hit that moment where you're like, this can't be it. This can't be how God meant for the Christian life to be. I'm always tired. I'm always struggling. I never feel like I have victory. I hear people talk about living a victorious life, but I don't have any idea what that's like. All I know is that I struggle every day to just stay saved. God never meant it to be that way. And he says, if you're tired of living that way, if you're tired of always being burdened and always being alone and always being afraid, he says, come to me. I'm here. I want to refresh you. I want your life and my life to be so close and so combined that they look so similar that people may not know the difference, okay? Have you had enough? Are you tired of doing everything that you do all on your own? Do you find yourself exhausted thinking there must be more? I believe that not only Christ can lift those burdens, I believe that he deeply desires to do so. But you have to come out of hiding. You have to get away from the mindset that by doing it on your own, you will somehow become stronger, because it is in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. He somehow, he will rid us of our self-imposed burdens that are brought about by our wandering when we choose to make ourselves available to his shearing, his cleaning, his refining, and his guiding. It is only then that he will take your weight and your burden and he will turn them into an instrument for his glory. He will use what you have been through to spur someone else on. He will use your wandering to remind others why it is so important to stay close and listen only for the voice of the one true shepherd. Tonight I don't have, well, it's not my place to say that. Tonight's altar call is a little different because I don't believe that there's always time. If you want to give your life to the Lord, that is, of course, always welcome. But today I felt more than anything compelled that maybe we are saved. Maybe we do love the Lord. But maybe we're carrying that load unevenly. Maybe we are carrying the heavy end and we're giving God the light end. And we're like, it's okay, God, I'm going to carry this heavy part. And you think you're doing him a favor, but that is not at all what he asked you to do. He says, I'll take the heavy part. You take the light part. I got the heavy end. I've already done all the hard work. But we steady feel like we have to struggle, that we have to barely hold on to this salvation that was so freely given to us for us to enjoy. Our lives were not meant to be these terrible, like, never gonna make it another Sunday. Okay, our lives are meant to be what? To wake up and just be excited, to love the Lord, to be able to love other people, to be able to say, you know what? No matter what comes, no matter what the enemy tries to do in my life, I don't have to worry about that because God's already made my burden so light. He already made my yoke so easy. He's already done everything that I need to do, and there's nothing more that I can do to help him. God doesn't need our help, all right? And I think that we are so used to living in a world where we have to be strong, we have to know the answers, we have to be the one that somebody can come to, that we think that we have to be that for ourselves as well, and that was never how it was designed to be. So maybe tonight you say, I do love the Lord, I love the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord, but maybe the idea of serving the Lord has become a chore for you. Maybe the idea of saying, if I have to do one more thing, I know that I'm just going to buckle. Like it's going to be the last straw. I'm burnt out. I can't do it anymore. Then tonight, I want to encourage you, wherever you are, you don't have to come up front. You can if you want to, but just take a personal minute with the Lord and say, God, I know this is not how you designed it to be. I know that your desire for me is to love you and to live a joyful life. He doesn't want us to be miserable. Now, are we going to enjoy everything he has us do? No, but on the other side of that, it's going to bring joy. Tonight, God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord God, with all of these men and women. God, I thank you that you do give us a light load, God. Even sometimes we burden ourselves, God, with stress, Lord, with outside things, with these ideas of our own that we have that we put on you. God, I pray today, Lord, that as the enemy would try to speak into our lives, God, that he would try to speak into us that, Lord, maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we are weak. Maybe we aren't successful the way that we thought that we would be, God. I pray that we would, Lord, not only not hear his voice, God, that we would be able to speak your word into our lives, God, that we would be able to remind ourselves, Lord, of who you say that we are, God. I pray that you would help us to have the courage to be sheep who follow you so closely, God, that when you even whisper our names, God, we are ready and willing to do anything that you want us to do. God, I thank you so much for your love, God. I thank you so much for your guidance. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that if ever there is a time that we choose to walk away, Lord, you never let us last 6 years. God, you leave immediately to find us, God, to bring us back into the fold. And God, I just thank you that you even remember our names enough to love us and to care for us the way that you do. Lord God, may we never take it for granted. God, I pray that you would be with us throughout the week. Lord, help us to, Lord, be a blessing to someone around us, God. Help us to be in good health. Lord, help us to be safe until we are all together again.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.